must leave the city at once, said Uncle Trump. There was hardly any sleep that night. Jasper had no chance to ask exactly why they had to run. They were too busy. Anyway, it was to do with Lady Gaul, and that was enough. Eventually, with only a bite of toast for an early breakfast, Emily hustled them out of the palace by a side door. Jasper still had no idea where they were going, but he hoped at least Sibylla would be safe from Lady Gaul. Lady Helen grabbed Jasper's arm. "What's that on your belt?" It was the dagger, of course. That's what you did, buckled a scabbard onto your belt. His mother made him take it off and stow it in the pack. Wearing old clothes and carrying their own bag, Sibylla with a monkey, they edged through the streets, dodging soldiers and naval officers. Dr. Ludlow kept a grubby grey scarf over his big nose so he wouldn't be recognised. Lady Helen had a scarf over her hair. They headed for the wharves. But when they reached the red iron gates, there was already a squash at the ticket office. Trump pulled his hat over his forehead.
"We mustn't travel together," he muttered.
Dr. Ludlow bought tickets for himself, Lady Helen, and Sibylla. Trump bought tickets for himself and Jasper, and handed Jasper's to him. They struggled through an even thicker crowd and found Wharf 3 and a 5-masted sailing ship, the Blue Swan.
"Keep your voice down," said his father.
Trump bent down to Jasper's ear.
"We're heading to Battle Island for a start. We'll tell you more when we've set sail."
"But you've got time to tell me now," Jasper complained. Sibylla had a fit of coughing.
"Oh, I forgot her medicine," cried Lady Helen.
Dr. Ludlow's face was grim. "Trump and Jasper, wait here. Jasper, do not budge. Do not board the Blue Swan before we're back and speak to nobody." He took Lady Helen by the hand, scooped Sibylla up in his arms, and rushed off. Jasper pushed out of the crowd, found an upturned barrel, and hoisted himself onto it. Trump flicked back the long tails of his coat, sat on another barrel, and looked about him. A tall, thin man in a thin black cloak strolled past, scribbling in a notebook. Trump went very still, and then turned to Jasper.
"Move slowly and sit over there. Wait out of sight."
Jasper slid off the barrel and sat on a small crate hidden between two bigger ones. Who was his uncle frightened of? There was something familiar about that cloak. It couldn't be that journalist who'd come to the door to talk to Jasper on his birthday, could it? He took the chance to examine the little scabbard. The scale pattern was actually more like feathers. He slid the dagger out. Its handle was curved for the grip, but plain. The steel blade had a wicked point. There were creatures, part dragon, part bird, etched around the top of the blade. He carved a slice off the side of the crate, then used the point to clean his nails. It drew a drop of blood. Jasper stowed the dagger and scabbard away again and sucked his finger. By now it had to be mid-morning. The sun was hot. The voices of the passengers and sailors grew fainter. Something jabbed Jasper's leg. He glanced down. A big seagull hopped away. Jasper realized the day was colder now. Just a handful of people wandered about. The barrel his uncle had been sitting on was gone. Uncle Trump was gone as well. Jasper was suddenly on his feet, upright with shock. The tall masts of the Blue Swan were far out beyond the harbour mouth. Most of the other ships had disappeared too. There was only a frigate from Lady Gaul's navy and a rusty fishing boat. And, at the end of Wharf 3, a boat that looked more like a circus tent than something seaworthy. Heart pounding, Jasper glanced around for anyone who might help. Someone in a black cloak was down at the red gates. Was it the man Trump had warned him to hide from? If he was sensible, he'd do what Dr. Ludlow had made him promise, stay exactly where he was. But the rest of his family must all be on the Blue Swan.
They might not even have realised that Jasper wasn't on board too. They probably thought he'd gone on with his own ticket and was hoping to make friends with the cabin boys. In the circumstances was what his parents had said a lot last night. In the circumstances, they had to travel without drawing attention to themselves. In the circumstances, he did not want to be found by Lady Gaul's guards. He'd better not go home. He'd better not go into the city. The only other direction was up the jetty. The solitary boat at the end of the wharf was the most unusual vessel Jasper had ever seen. She seemed almost circular. Instead of being painted in sensible colours with a smart stripe, she had segments of orange, yellow, red and purple like a set of paints. Orange dinghies hung on orange davits on either side. The sails were furled but seemed to be bright green. There was also a smokestack. On the bow and around the funnel there were painted shapes of flying birds. From inside the ship came a light voice singing, a nice voice, perhaps. The ship's appearance might be misleading. The cabin door opened. A woman came out, wiping her hands on a white apron. She was slender and graceful, younger than his mother and as tall as his father. She cupped a hand above her eyes. "Who's there?" "Jasper!" She pointed up to the side of the cabin where a wooden sign was folded in half so you couldn't read it. "Well, Jasper, we're not opening tonight." "Actually," said Jasper, "I'm in a bit of trouble." He explained a little, only that his parents had left him behind by accident. Could he sleep in a corner of the deck just for tonight? When the woman answered at last, she was not helpful. "I'm sorry, I don't know enough about boys. You'd better find a policeman." She went inside and shut the door. Jasper said several bad words. He settled his pack to make a sort of nest for some shelter from the wind. It grew darker, as night does. The cabin door opened again, and Jasper saw a man walking towards the stern.
"Who's there?"
Jasper thought he'd better stand up. Being polite might help. He explained again that his parents had sailed without him. The man listened, one hand behind an ear. When Jasper had finished, there was a moment's silence. The old man turned back to the cabin.
"Well, come aboard. Just one night."
The woman had been reading. She snapped the book shut and rose to her feet. She didn't smile. Neither the man nor the woman seemed to smile at all. They seemed as wary of Jasper as he was of them. Through folding glass doors, Jasper saw a larger area with several tables. This must be the main living area. It had three brass poles from floor to ceiling. A counter divided off a surprisingly large galley. There was a set of steps up to the wheelhouse. Did this odd-shaped ship actually sail? The young woman pointed at a bench under the portholes. It had a thick cushion. The woman pulled a quilt out of a box built into the walls and handed it to Jasper. It was soft, warm. She led him towards the bench and showed him how to lift a little metal barrier and lock it into place so he wouldn't tip out of the narrow bed if the boat pitched. He lay in the gentle rocking of the strange ship, with the swaying of bird shadows from the faint glow of the lantern. The birds sometimes took on the shape of dragons. The next thing he heard was a door sliding open. He blinked. The woman came in.
"So," said the woman, "your name?"
"Just Jasper."
"Jasper, I didn't give you my name last night. That was appalling manners. We're not used to visitors, you see. Customers, yes, but not visitors. I'm Polly."
Jasper had a feeling she wasn't too sure she should have told him. He glanced at the door that led to the companionway, and he,
said Polly, following his gaze, "is Dr. Rocket, the captain." The door opened, and in came the captain. His beard was grey like a worn-out hearth brush. He stopped and stared at Jasper. Jasper scrambled up and tried to straighten his shirt and trousers. I'd better go. The boy hasn't had a chance to say much. Polly looked at the captain with a rather sharp eye. I've told him that I'm Polly and you're the captain. The captain's eyes crinkled, just a little.
Well, Polly, I believe boys usually like breakfast.
Jasper was so hungry it was hard to eat politely, though he could slow down after a while. He hoped it was good manners to leave plates absolutely empty. Jasper thanked Polly and the captain with a bow, hand over his heart.
Boy, the captain said, what's next for you?
Jasper's eyes smarted. I have to find my parents and my little sister. You didn't mention a sister last night, said Polly. What's her name? Should he risk telling her? Heaps of boys were called Jasper, but not many would have a sister called Sybilla. Sybilla, he mumbled. Dr. Rocket went as still as a rock. Polly took off her headband and twisted it in her hands. The captain's beard twitched.
We've heard Lady Gaul searching for a 10-year-old boy called Jasper Ludlow.
Jasper stared at the deck.
Ludlow is a name we used to know. However, your name's just Jasper, and it's clear that you're 12.
So, Polly slipped her headband back on, we have a third crew member, Dr. Rocket. Temporarily. We'll see how it goes.
I'm deciding, said the captain, to follow the Blue Swan.
She's heading to Battle Island, Jasper said. Polly glanced at Dr. Rocket. That's the quickest route to the Eastern Isle. The Eastern Isle being the place of the great accident when that thing that can't be mentioned came to an end. Polly frowned. Battle Island is several days away. I suppose we're seaworthy for that distance? Dr. Rocket shrugged.
If I'm as truthful as I can be, we'll have to find out.